This morning, please take your Bible, open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4 as our text today. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll start the message. Our Heavenly Father, as we preach this morning from this passage, would you help me to know exactly what you would want me to say? I will do my best to follow your leadership, and I do pray for all of us here that we will have open ears and receptive hearts to hear what you have for us today. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for your word. Please speak to hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. There are, throughout the Word of God, as you can imagine, and I don't have the number, but there are many, many questions that are asked in the Bible. The Bible is full of questions that are very, very important and speak to us about our needs and our spiritual needs in particular. And one of those questions, by the way, is mentioned in our text. And that's really what I want to talk to you about this morning. The question is found in verse number 3, where the Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" This question to me is a question that no one can answer. And that's what I'm using today as a title, the question no one can answer. And the reason I say this, or the reason I give it that title, is because there really is no good answer to that question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, the honest truth is you won't escape. There is no escape if you neglect the great salvation that the Lord is offering. And so there is no good answer to this question. And I'd like you to consider, if you would, the verses here that we looked at. I'll do my best to stay right here this morning. You notice here, verse number 1 again says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." It is amazing to me sometimes how careless people can be with the Word of God. I'll go a step further. It is amazing to me how even some pastors are careless with the Word of God. The Word of God is a very important book. In fact, it is the most important book. And it is God's love letter to us. And it's something that we should always treat with love and respect and honor. And we should pay close attention to what it says to us. And that's one thing that's being mentioned here in verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For," and here's the reason, "for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast," and of course it was, "and every transgression and disobedience," think about what this says now, "and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." So you get the picture, I hope. The things that were spoken by angels to mankind, they were steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience of those things received a just recompense of reward. If all that is true, which it is, then verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" The Lord himself delivering the message, and then his disciples and apostles delivering the message. If we neglect what they've said to us about this great salvation, how in the world are we going to escape? And of course, there is no escape. Then verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. The question that no one can answer. This question in verse number 3 mentions a great salvation. A great salvation. I don't know what you think about it, and I don't know if you agree with me or not. I'm guessing many of you do. But the salvation that we enjoy is great. It is wonderful. It is beyond words to try to describe to someone. We touched on this a little bit in the adult Sunday school class this morning. When you are on the before saved side of salvation, you don't understand what you're missing. But once you've been saved and you're on the after I've been saved side of salvation, you look back and you wonder, why did it take me so long? Why did I ever think I had it better over there? Why did I not do this sooner? And you also think, I would never want to go back. This is a great salvation that we enjoy. And it is great in its conception. It was conceived, not by man, but by God in heaven. Listen, long before we knew we had a need. Long before we knew we had a need, God the Father in heaven conceived this idea of man needing a Savior. So it's great in its conception. It's also great in its cost. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Great in its cost. Greater than silver and gold. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so this great cost cost the Father, because the Father gave up his only begotten Son. It cost the Son because he gave up his life and he willingly suffered in our place. It cost the Holy Spirit because he, even today, after all these generations, is still seeking out those who are lost and trying to get them to receive this gift of salvation. I say again, this question mentions a great salvation, which is great in its conception and great in its cost. This salvation, by the way, is great also in its circumference. John 3, verse 16, most of us know the verse, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. There's not a person that ever lived on this earth that Jesus didn't die for. Every one of them. Those who want him and those who don't want him. Those who love him and those who hate him. Jesus died for all of them. Great in its circumference. It includes the whole world. Someday someone will say to God, probably on Judgment Day, I don't think it's fair that you would allow me to go to hell. And God can easily say, I did my part. You refused to do yours. That's why you're going to go to hell. I'm always amazed at people who refuse to get saved. Now, I understand it's because they don't know what they're missing and they don't understand they're on the wrong side of salvation yet. And so they don't know and understand a lot of things that we do. But when you understand that it's a free gift, when you understand that God will forgive you all your sins, when you understand that God will forever put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have a home in heaven that's waiting for you, and things beyond all of our thoughts and dreams and desires are waiting for you, why would you not want to be saved? Why would you not want to be saved? And when you consider what's waiting on the opposite side of it, that place called hell where it's eternal and it's suffering and anguish and agony and darkness and yet fire and pain that you've never had experienced before, Why would you not want to go to heaven? Why would you choose to go to hell? I'm always amazed at that. When the price has already been paid, because the circumference of salvation, again, it's a great salvation, the circumference is the whole world. The whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, now there's the individual. Because it does come down to an individual choice. Yes, you can choose to reject it if you want. You can choose to be stubborn if you want. You can choose to wait if you want. You can choose that. But then the circumstances at the end are not going to be very good for you. And I promise you, you will regret. I promise you, you will regret putting off salvation because of what's waiting in hell. It's great in its circumference. This question mentions, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This question mentions a great salvation. It's great in its conception. It's great in its cost. It's great in its circumference. Listen, it's great in its completeness. Do you realize that when God saves you, he saves all of you? I love this verse that I'm going to give you right here. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You realize that there's a record that God knows about and God has. There's a record for each and every one of us in our life. And I've just got two pieces of paper here. And you can probably see it's white paper with black ink on it. My record, by the way, is much, much longer than this. I'm talking about the sins that I've done, the things that I've done wrong, the thoughts that I've had that weren't right, the attitudes that I've had that weren't right, the actions that I've done that weren't right. God has a list of all those things, and that list, like I said, mine anyway, is much, much longer than just two pages. But when the Bible says here in Colossians 2 and verse 14 that because of the cross, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You understand that all those things, listen, all those things were nailed to the cross. And because they were nailed to the cross, they were covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you understand that I'll never have to give an account for those things. This is a great salvation I'm talking about. It's great in its completeness. Men and women, boys and girls like you and me, we're sinners. We owe a great debt to God. But Jesus was willing to pay for our salvation and blot out all that debt that we owed. It's all forgiven. So however many pages there would be, they're no longer white pages with black ink on them. They're just white pages. There's nothing there. Satan may come to God the Father, as it seems to show in the Scriptures, and try to accuse us before the Lord, and the Lord looks at the record and say, nope, there's nothing here. You can say that if you want to, but you're lying, because this one trusted me as their Savior, and there's nothing there. Friend, this is a great salvation. It's great in its conception, great in its cost, great in its circumference, great in its completeness. It's also great in its capability. Every once in a while, someone will say, well, I'm not sure God can save me. I'm pretty bad. I'm pretty wicked. I'm pretty vile. After all that I've done, God couldn't really save me, could he? God can save anyone. Anyone. He is willing to pardon anyone. It doesn't matter how great a sinner they are. He is willing to pardon anyone. And once he pardons that person, you know what else he does? He refurbishes them. He makes them, as the Bible says in the New Testament, a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm standing before you today as a man who is saved, And January 9th was my spiritual birthday, 52 years ago. 52 years ago, I asked Jesus to be my Savior because He sought me out. I asked Him to save me, and lo and behold, He did. And I stand before you this morning as a different person than what I used to be. And far different than what I would be had I not been saved. Hallelujah. Can't lift my arms higher than my shoulders, but I can lift them this high. It's one of the warnings they gave me about that surgery. But to think about the changes that God has made and His capability of not only pardoning us, but also refurbishing us, making us a new person in Christ Jesus, and then empowering us and equipping us to live for Him. What a great salvation this is. This question mentions a great salvation, great in its conception, great in its cost, great in its circumference, great in its completeness, great in its capability, great in its conditions. I want you to understand that the conditions about salvation are a couple of things. One, it's offered to anyone. And second, it's 100% free. It's offered to anyone, and it's 100% free. My friend, this is a great salvation. This is a great salvation. Well, how you doing? Pretty good. You know, you love the Lord? Well, yeah. Are you saved? Yeah, I think so. Oh, friend, why don't you get a hold of what you have? Why don't you realize what the Lord has done for you? Why don't you stop and meditate for a little while on this great salvation that God has offered you and given you? Which, by the way, He'll never take back. I don't know about you, but to me, that's a wonderful thing as well. That's a great thing as well. He'll never take it back. Do I deserve to have it taken away sometimes? Yes. But He promised in His word, He'd never take it back. Once you have it, and it's yours forever. So again, this Bible verse, verse 3, says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" So the question that no one can answer mentions a great salvation, but it also mentions something else. It mentions a great sin. A great sin. And here it is. How shall we escape if we, what's that next word? Neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The great sin that's mentioned here is neglect. Listen, it's not terrorizing the church. It's not shooting up a church. It's not vandalizing a church. It's not standing outside the church during the services holding signs up that say that's a bunch of foolishness and gobbledygook and all. It's not any of those things. The sin that's talked about here is just neglect. It may not be conscious rebellion. It may not even be conscious rejection. It's simply neglect. It's like this. I'll take care of that later. Or I'll take care of that tomorrow. Or not today. I got too much going on. Neglect. Maybe next week. Neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I wonder, and I don't know anybody really knows the number, but I wonder how many people are already in hell because of that one word, neglect. My guess is there's probably hundreds of thousands. They were going to take care of it one day, but just never got around to it. Neglect. That sin of neglect is a sin against several individuals. It's a sin, of course, against God. God the Father who gave us His Son. God the Son who gave His life. God the Holy Spirit who is trying to draw you to the Lord so you can be saved. It's a sin against God. It's also a sin against God's people. Those who love you. Those who've prayed for you. Those who've witnessed to you and talked with you and pleaded with you. Those who've preached sermons like this. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against God's people. But you know, worst of all, it's a sin against yourself. Here's another question about hell. How many folks are in hell today? And again, I bet there's hundreds of thousands. How many folks are in hell today and wish that they had another opportunity? Just one opportunity. Just give me one more chance, Lord. No, after you reach hell, there are no opportunities. There is no more one chance. There's no mulligan. There's no do-overs. Once you reach hell, that's it. It's a done deal. So it's a sin against yourself. Just from one word, the word neglect. What a terrible, terrible thought. The question that no one can answer in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I said this question mentions a great salvation. Number 2, this question mentions a great sin. Here's my last thought this morning. This question mentions a great sadness. A great sadness. Probably everyone in this room has someone that maybe even this morning while you're here listening to this sermon, you have thought of. Because they've already died and you weren't sure if they got saved before they died. All over this room, I'm guessing there's people, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. A friend or a loved one, family member, they're passed on already, and you're not 100% sure that they got saved before they died. Are they in heaven or are they in hell? You and I were talking about this just yesterday, about someone that both of us know, and did they get saved before they died? Was it genuine? Did the Lord honestly really save them, or was it just words coming out of their mouth? Are they in heaven today? Because this person's been dead now for several years. Are they in heaven today enjoying heaven and all that's there? Or are they in hell still suffering and will continue to suffer for all of eternity? Probably every one of us have one or two or maybe more individuals like that. Isn't that a great sadness? One of the things that I've been privileged to do as a pastor is conduct funerals for people and try to walk with them through those dark days. And, you know, like the Bible says in Psalm 23, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's never pleasant. It's never fun. It's never enjoyable. But to be able to walk someone through that, help them through that, is a privilege that pastors have. And when it comes time for the sermon, if you've heard me deliver funeral sermons, you know that, and I've tried to always be this way, I don't preach people into heaven. You've probably been at funerals like that where you happen to know that the person who died was wicked and vile and evil and they're not at all, you know, in love with God and the Lord and church and the Bible and stuff like that. And yet the pastor stands up and talks all flowery about how this person is now in heaven, enjoying everything that heaven has to offer. I've never tried to do that. If I know for sure that they're lost, I'll make sure and talk to the ones who are in the audience about how to get saved. I'm not going to harp on the fact that this person's in hell, but I'm not going to say that they're in heaven either. But the ones who are out here living and listening, they still have an opportunity. And so I'll talk to them. Several years ago, we were in Appleton, and I got to speak to a group of probably 150 people at a funeral, some young person had passed away, and there were all kinds of other young people that came and were in the audience, and some of those at one time or another had come to our church for Vacation Bible School and Awana and things like that, and several of them remembered me and came to me and said this, "You're the Awana man." But I had the opportunity to preach the wonderful, great salvation that God offers to anyone who will receive it. The person who had passed on, I mean, who knows if that person had been saved or not. But everyone who was there living and listening, they had an opportunity. So I talked to them. And as I remember it, there were several hands that went up and said that they prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus to be their Savior. Anytime someone does that at a funeral service, we may, you know, there's no guarantee, but we may have rescued someone from hell. But what a sadness when that person dies, and either you know for sure they're not saved or you're not sure. What a sadness that is. Listen, not only for us, just think about how sad God is. He did his part, but they neglected it. He did everything he can do. The sins were paid for. The pleading was being done by the Spirit of God and through preachers and witnessing. God was doing everything he can, but they still neglected. Sad for the living relatives who are saved. Sad for God. Sad most of all for that person who ends up in hell. And will have to be there for all of eternity. Simply because they neglected this great salvation. Notice the scripture again, would you please? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We're concentrating today on verse number 3, which has a question no one can answer. This question mentions, first of all, a great salvation. Great in its conception, great in its cost, great in its circumference, great in its completeness, great in its capability, great in its conditions. This question also mentions a great sin, and the sin revolves around one word, and that one word is neglect. This question also mentions a great sadness. Sad for those relatives who are left behind because they're not sure where that person is, heaven or hell. Sad for God because he did everything he could to try to get that person saved, but they rejected it, they neglected it. Sad most of all for those who end up in hell and for all of eternity will be just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. Begging for a drop of cold water to cool his tongue. Begging for Abraham to go send someone back to his five brothers. What a shame. The good news is there's no reason to neglect it. It's here. It's offered. It's free. All you have to do is accept it. That's all. Just receive it as your own. All your sins will be forgiven, your name forever sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life, a home in heaven being prepared for you. Many hundreds of different things that man can never even think of or imagine are going to be waiting for you. A brand new life in Christ. There's no reason to neglect it. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if one day you're listening to this sermon and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, why not get saved today? Why put it off? Why take that chance? Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking. The question no one can answer. And I call it that because there is no good answer to this question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The truth is, you'll not escape. There is no escape. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity I've had to preach about salvation and how it's available and how it's wonderful and great, and we'll be blessed if we partake of it, but also how dangerous it is if we neglect it, what's waiting for us on the other side if we neglect it. Please, God, please speak to hearts this morning. Please speak to hearts who listen to this sermon later and bring them and draw them and pull them towards salvation so that they finally stop neglecting and start receiving this wonderful gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.